Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will drop by at 8 o'clock. We'll get into John Robinson's press conference a little bit more with him coming up at 8 o'clock. Matt Duchene, Predator Center at 8:45. They're taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow night on the road. We'll catch up with Matt Duchene at that time. And then Adam Vingan from The Athletic at 9:30. So a lot still to come here today on the show. But Joe, with that in mind, let's introduce the poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Today's poll question is this, and it revolves around the Tennessee Titans. After three playoff appearances with some good and bad personnel moves, where is your current confidence level in Titans general manager John Robinson? And the options are very confident, somewhat confident, the confidence is fading, or little confidence. 122 votes are in. 52% say somewhat confident, 28% very confident in John Robinson, 15% say the confidence is fading, and only 5% say they have little confidence in John Robinson. So John Robinson's still in pretty good standing with the people so far in the poll here among Titans fans.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, basically an 80% approval rating, right? I mean, some level of approval. Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's, I mean, to me, I mean, that's a reasonable outlook on him. Two things being true here, you know, that he had a terrible offseason, and people should be upset about that, but you have to look at the big picture. I'm going to quickly, before we get into this, I'm going to argue a little bit with Ryan Porth on the last segment, and I hear you on Za'Darius Smith for sure. That was a big swing they should have taken. But we can't say that Clowney wasn't a big swing. It was a miss, but you kind of made it sound like they haven't been out there trying to do this. I mean, last year they invested a ton into edge rushers. They just picked wrong, you know?
Well, I mean, that's the issue. I mean,
well, right. Okay. Well, I was hearing they're not out there trying to make this better. You know, I guess maybe I mistook what you were saying. Yeah, of course, if you're choosing wrong, yeah, eventually in that job, you can't choose wrong, but it's not like they haven't tried to address it.
Well, we all know Clowney is an interesting case in this entire conversation, because Clowney is not someone who historically is someone who gets a ton of sacks. I think there's always been this misperception on Clowney that he's going to be this double-digit sack guy, and he's better as a, quote, disruptor or against the run than he is in terms of actually getting to the quarterback and registering a sack. The cutting
allegedly
the cutting around the corner for me last year was rolling the dice on Vic Beasley on a prove it 1 year deal after you go out and sign Cam Wake the season prior. Like it that's where I'm getting the cutting around the corner perception from me as a Titans fan, where it's like, man, why don't you just invest in somebody that is, you know, maybe you have to overpay a little bit in free agency to get somebody like a Za'Darius Smith, and he's the first example that I think of in this conversation that is going to consistently get pressure game in and game out.
Well, then, okay, and that's fine. But again, like to me, Clowney was, you're getting into, you know, you're getting into a big recruiting battle for the five-star with Alabama and Clemson. I mean, whether people want to admit it or not, a whole bunch of NFL teams were after Clowney, right? The Browns, the Ravens, the Saints, you know, they were in that was a big swing. I hear you on the other ones, a risk with Beasley, a guy on the downside with Wake. So it sounds to me like you would rather see them try to get a Matthew Judon, an Ngakoue, a Bud Dupree, someone like that, than go the J.J. Watt route. Is that correct?
Well,
because J.J. Watt is Cam Wake.
I wouldn't go that far. J.J. Watt is better than Cam Wake.
Well, he's had a way better career. But at this point, at this very moment, it's not
J.J. Watt is J.J. Watt is better than Cam Wake was at this point.
How much better?
Significantly. You're talking, Cam Wake was 37. J.J. Watt's 31.
Well, yeah, 32. But again, the injuries for J.J. Watt have been way more serious than what Wake had at that point.
Like, I think if you sign J.J. Watt, you're going to squeeze a lot more out of that orange than you ever did out of Cameron Wake. That's my opinion.
Okay. I mean, that's possible. But remember, I mean, Cam Wake, let's go back. I mean, he had 6 sacks the year before. So it's kind of, I mean, it's funny because it's similar production the year before. But the year right before that, 10.5. The year right before that, 11.5. And you say that, but Cam Wake didn't come here and suck. He came here and got hurt, and he was done. I thought early he was pretty good in that season. You know, what does he do with the whole season? He probably gets you about 5 or 6 sacks, which is probably what you're going to get from J.J. Watt next year.
If you had to ask me, I'll agree that he's better,
but I don't think it's a massive gap at all at this point.
You brought up it, you know, would you rather have J.J. Watt or one of the younger pass rushers like a Judon? Well, Judon isn't all that impressive to me from a get to the quarterback every single game kind of guy.
Right.
I would, if you have to give me
those guys are very rare.
Well, you know? sure, but. That's where in the first round, if Aziz Ojulari or the dude from Tulsa, Zaven Collins, if one of those two guys is there and you sign J.J. Watt, let's say you get one of those two guys in the first round and you sign J.J. Watt, I feel a whole lot better about the pass rush going into next year compared to if you only roll the dice on, say, Yannick and Ngakoue, and then you just say that's it. Like if you have a two-pronged approach to this and get someone on the defensive line who's going to command attention if healthy, and you get a young stud pass rusher, and then maybe you even spend a little bit more money on someone who can be a depth pass rusher and, you know, replace what you were getting out of Kamalei Correa, and maybe even better, then I feel a lot better. And I feel like that's pretty realistic.
So but let's just take one of two things: Watt and you draft someone, or Ngakoue, you know, Bud Dupree, whoever they choose, and we don't know for sure how any of them will work out. I mean, Matthew Judon, I agree with you. He's not a huge sack guy. He's a 6 last year, 9.5 the year before, 7, 8. He's that kind of guy. He is a very good player.
He's very good. If you dig deeper into his numbers, he does not get to the quarterback that much. He really doesn't. I mean, some of the deeper analytic dives on Matthew Judon, quite frankly to me, are not all that impressive. And if I'm the Titans, I'm staying away from that guy.
I'm also staying away from Bud Dupree. I mean, Bud Dupree, I know, has had a couple of great seasons, but how much of that has been TJ Watt really going next level and Bud Dupree benefiting from that? Plus, he's coming off a torn ACL.
Well, okay, so the deeper dives, now I've got to go back and look at this, because one of the metrics says that Matthew Judon actually is way more impressive than his sack number at getting at the quarterback.
The things I've read said that he's actually getting more sacks than he should be getting.
This is, again, you know, you can find the analytics to probably back up whatever you want to believe, but according to one, he hit quarterbacks on 8.5% of his pass rushing opportunities, which was third in the NFL. So, you know, but listen, there's no sure thing. That we can all agree on that. Cause I'm afraid of Bud Dupree coming off this injury. And just because I just think that TJ Watt's so good that I think that has inflated his numbers, you know? So he's a guy that scares me. But one of two things, if you picked one of those guys who, I mean, I think you have to agree that someone in their prime who's less likely to get hurt, who probably has a higher upside in terms of being disruptive and being a good player next year, paying more and drafting a guy like that versus Watt and drafting a guy like that.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan texts in and says, come on, man. Watt is Wake. What? Did Wake have the mental fortitude that Watt has? Is Wake a similar talent as J.J. Watt? No. Watt is far better than Wake. Watt has intangibles like Brady that will help improve this defense.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, I love J.J. Watt, okay? But this is about what you are physically in this brutal league and what you can do right now in producing on the field. Cameron Cameron Wake was a great leader. Cameron Wake's intangibles have never been questioned. He was fantastic in that locker room. By the way, Cameron Wake has 100.5 sacks in his career. Okay.
Pretty good.
I mean, you know, 100.5 sacks. JJ Watt has 101 sacks in his career. I mean, you got to be kidding me that we're going to make try to make this huge gap between those two guys. Cam Wake had a 14, a 15, an 11.5, an 11.5. Yes, older. I agree. I would agree that J.J. Watt right at this moment is better, but it is not way better than Cam Wake when he came in here. And, look, if you can tell me that J.J. Watt's going to give you 16 games next year, then I'd think a little bit differently about it. But I just – how do you have confidence in that?
When we come back, we'll continue to take your reaction on the Titans and the pass rushing part of the defense. What options should they pursue? What do you think about J.J. Watt potentially coming to the Titans? Get your thoughts on John Robinson as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think that it's important that, you know, this offseason that we learn, that I learned personally from last year, that we've tried to improve. I would say that there have been more positive in the roster building than negative around here the last, you know, 5 years. I'm proud of what we've done so far. We're one of, I think, three teams to have five consecutive winning seasons. And we've been to the playoffs three times, won the division this last year, won 11 games to get in the playoffs. Not to toot our own horn, but that's a positive thing. And we got to be better. And there's one team that's going to host a parade at the end of the year. One team. And the other 31 are going to be, you know, frustrated and look back on ways to try to get to that game and win that game. So we all have to be better, and it starts with me.
That was Titans general manager John Robinson yesterday at his press conference, Joe, pointing out a lot of success around here for the Titans over the last 5 years, winning the division last year for the first time since 2008, a couple years ago, going to the AFC title game and doing things that, quite frankly, we've not seen around here in a very long time from the Tennessee Titans. So we've talked a lot about the offseason for John Robinson last year, how poorly it went, how negative it was, and quite frankly, what an impact it had on, I think, the bottom line of the Titans with how good that offense was. I mean, the defense, I really do. I think the defense last year and some of the whiffs made, not only by John Robinson, but from the coaching staff as well, cost this team maybe from being 13-3, 14-2 in the regular season, just based on how good that offense was. But as John Robinson points out, there's still a lot of really good things happening with this Titans team that I think you can be excited about if you're a fan moving forward here.
Yeah, but see, if I'm a Titans fan, I don't really care to hear John Robinson list the achievements. I like some of the words he said in that quote. I like the it starts with me, you know. That's what I want to hear if I'm a Titans fan. You know, we all have to be better. It starts with me. I learned personally from last year that we try to improve. Like, I don't think, like, if I'm a Titans fan, I don't care to hear. Like, we know you guys have been good and all that stuff. I mean, to me, it seems to me like maybe John Robinson, you know, is hearing the criticism and feels like he has to defend himself. I mean, everybody knows he's overall done a good job. But right now, as a Titans fan, you know, I just want to hear, you know, we're going to do better this offseason.
Yeah, like, and we mentioned
that's if I were a Titans fan, that's how I would look at that whole thing. Like, you don't even need to say all that stuff, man.
Well, look, let's be honest. It's going to be hard to be worse than they were last season. I mean, let's be real here. You could almost be better by default.
Well, he also got asked, and this might have been Jared. See, I give credit to Jared. I think Jared asked him about the draft. Maybe it was somebody else about the, you know, can you have two straight empty drafts, you know? And, you know, I'm going to find the answer here. But basically it was like, yeah, a quick answer. I don't know. That's kind of speculation. I hope we're not missing on too many drafts. But, you know, he knows full well. And look. Again, in a couple of years, we may look back at the 2020 draft differently than we do now. That's possible. We're not going to look back at free agency any differently.
No.
But the draft, you know, there's obviously you can still have some impact. But even if you do, you in any draft, you hope to impact your next team. I mean, in this league, you got to have impact guys, especially in the first round, but even some of your other high picks that have impact. Some, you know, those guys, look, Fulton and Evans were hurt. And I think both those guys end up being good players, but yeah, it was absolutely, it was there. It was by far his worst offseason, by far. Like, I can't even come up with a close second. And I think a GM who has multiple off seasons like that, realistically, your team's going to be really adversely affected by that.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, get a coach and a GM that can raise the ceiling now. Let's not look at this 3 years from now and say we wasted the prime of Derrick Henry and Tannehill. So Ben, ready to get a new coach and a GM in here that could raise the ceiling for this Titans team.
Fire everybody. Let's start. Hey, I mean, I understand some people. I can't believe it's too many people who feel like that, right?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, look, I do think there's something in sports that there's merit to the idea that there are guys that can raise the floor maybe of a group, but maybe the ceiling's not quite as high. I don't know if I'm willing to say that, like, this past, you know, the trip to the AFC title game was absolutely the ceiling for Mike Vrabel and John Robinson.
Well, first of all, I mean that's almost the ceiling, like the ceiling.
Yeah, I know. Like, you're one game away.
Right. It's like, so I mean, you know, there are definitely GMs and franchises that don't come close to that. I can think of one that hasn't even won a game toward that in 70 years. So, you know, I mean, you got to keep things in perspective. But, yeah, I have no idea. And by the way, that question about the draft was actually Adam Sparks, I call him Sparkles, who at the Tennessean has actually, at least in the short term, switched from Vandy to the Titans. So, good job, Sparkles.
Way to go, Sparks. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Paris text in says, okay, you guys seem to be down on free agent pass rushers. So how's the pass rushers look in the upcoming draft? And if he was Watt, he'd go to the Browns. You've got Garrett on one side plus Watt on the other. His numbers would go up.
Yeah. I he's going to go someplace. I hadn't thought about the Browns. I mean, can they pay him? Half the teams you mention, it's like, can you pay him?
Apparently, they're trying to.
Yeah. Okay. That's not terrible. I mean, look, that's a team too that I think if you're JJ Watt, you could see them being a contender if everything worked out. You know,
To his other point in the text, like, I don't think we're down on free agent pass rushers. You just better be sure that you're paying the right guy. Like,
right.
Like, you know, I think Matthew Judon's a good player. Like, is Matthew Judon worth $15 or $16 million per year? That's where I've got my hesitations. Like, you've got to make sure you're paying the right guy in this if you're the Titans.
Yeah, well, I agree. Look, I wouldn't want to pay Matthew Judon $15 or $16 either. And if that's where it gets, then you know, I that's tough. Not 12. Like, I would rather pay Matthew Judon $12 million than pay JJ Watt $8 million. That's how I feel. As far as the other part of that question, the draft, yeah, look, I mean, we've talked about the guys in the draft, but, like, let's take Azeez Ojulari. I mean, Porth brought him up earlier. I think he's a really good player. The problem is, if you look at pass rushers coming out of the draft in recent years, for one thing, early impact is rare. But another thing, like, Azeez Ojulari could be a very good player in the NFL, and he may never get more than 6 sacks in a year. It is very hard to find those volume sack guys. And that's why they make so much. You know, that's why everyone's looking for one. I mean, to me, it's like, obviously, everyone's looking for that quarterback in this league. And then after that, I mean, to me, this is the next thing. Everybody's looking for someone to affect the quarterback. And it's only going to increase after what we just saw from the Tampa Bay Bucks winning the Super Bowl. Because they just showed you, if you can absolutely just get all over a quarterback, you can even beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, it's crucially important. And, Porth, I think that's why it's played into your frustration that, at least from your vantage point, it doesn't feel like the Titans have made the proper investment in that
over
the past 2 years.
Yeah, and the investment for me isn't just free agency. It also goes back to the draft. Since they drafted Javon Kearse in 1999, they've spent one first-round pick on a pass rusher, and that was Derek Morgan. And Derek Morgan was okay. He was nothing better than okay. And when you look at the history of this team, they have not had a consistent guy that can get to the quarterback since probably Kyle VandenBosch, which was a bargain bin free agent find by Floyd Reese back in the mid-2000s. And I think that is not only the fact that in recent years where it's been a glaring need and it feels like they've been cutting some corners in free agency with Cam Wake, with Vic Beasley, where not only in free agency, but the draft over the long haul, well before John Robinson ever took over as GM, this franchise has not been able to find that stud pass rusher or even tried to find that stud pass rusher in the first round with a high-end, quality, talented guy that you can potentially have for 5 to 10 years and sniff double-digit sacks.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And that's the draft has got to be a big part of it. And to your point, I mean, I'm trying to think of the last guy that they've had in here that you feel great about consistently get to the quarterback. Like Brian Arakpo was good. Was he in that category where you think he was consistently getting to the quarterback? I don't know if I'd go that far. I thought he was really good. You know, Jason Babin was really good that 1 year, but it probably is since VandenBosch that they've had that guy that got in the backfield every single game.
And you bring up 1 year of Arakpo where you may have felt that, or 1 year of Jason Babin where you may have felt that. Kyle VandenBosch is probably the last guy where you felt that for multiple seasons.
Yeah, Arakpo had 10.5 in 16. That was my first year here, and I thought he was awfully good. You know, and Morgan was pretty good that year too. I mean, that was a good. If you had a combo like Arakpo and Morgan were in 16, you'd be pretty good. Like if you had the rest of this defense,
yeah,
you know, as constructed basically, you got that secondary figured out and healthy, and you had that kind of a combo. I mean, like, that's pretty good. I think that's like, you can't sit here and say, nah, man, I need Khalil Mack in his prime. Sorry. You know, you can't count on 15, you know, 10.5 sacks. That's about what you're looking for. But to your guys' point, you know, that was his 1 year where he was like that. He had 7 and 15 and he had 7 and 17. So in those 3 years, he had a total of, you know, 24.5, averaging about 8 like that. That's good.
Yes.
If you can find someone to give you an average of 8 sacks a year over 3 years, great. You know, it's just a matter of making the choices. Again, John Robinson drafted Landry, and of course he drafted Kevin Dodd with his top pick in the second round in his first draft to give him pass rush. And there's another whiff. And that goes back to Kaharsi's question about, you know, evaluating pass rushers. And is that a little bit of a weak spot, you know, for this group?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question and a question that they're going to have an opportunity to answer this offseason. At least you would think and hope if you're a Titans fan, both in the draft and potentially in free agency as well. We'll continue to discuss this all show long. We'll take your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we're going to switch gears for a little bit, get into the Nashville Predators, and ask this question. Did the Predators make a mistake this past offseason by going with too much grit in their lineup and maybe trying to force an identity change? We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you'll win a prize pack. The next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45 as the Predators take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. So make sure that you're tuned in for that. And Joe, speaking of the Nashville Predators, diving into that part of the show right now, we'll have Matt Duchene joining us later at 8:45 as well, and then Adam Vingan at 9:30. So a lot to get to today with the Predators as well. And I'm looking at this team right now, and we're going to talk about some comments that David Poile made on Darren Donick and Chase a little bit later in the show. But I look at the team right now. They're 6-9-0 on the season, 15 games in. And we've talked about the struggles offensively that they've had. I mean, they've had a tough time generating anything on a consistent basis. When they get in the offensive zone, Ryan Ellis has talked about it, sometimes it kind of feels like they're just slapping the puck around out there. They're not really able to generate much consistently on the offensive part of things. And to me, I revisit the moves they made in the offseason because I think it was obvious that the group that they had in place needed to be shaken up. Like it something needed to be done. The identity just really wasn't there. And really ever since that time, you've heard the Predators talk about trying to become harder to play against, maybe adding a little bit more grit and toughness to the lineup, being a little bit more difficult to play against. And I think early on this season, we saw some signs of maybe that being the case and maybe that being an identity change that this team could be proud of and that maybe could work for this team. But now you look at it and just with where this team is offensively, did they almost do too much of that? Did they go for too much grit this past offseason rather than maybe trying to bring in a guy like Mike Hoffman or maybe trying to bring in a guy like Taylor Hall and put him into the fold here in Nashville? Do you think they went too much the other way, maybe to try to force an identity change, and now they're suffering from it offensively?
By the way, what's up with James Neal? Why is he not here yet? Why is James Neal not back with the Preds yet?
Yeah. There was a
the Kneeler, baby.
Yeah, the real deal, baby. That's an expensive contract.
Yeah, actually, seriously, what is up with it? Anybody pick him up?
No, man. I think it's a $5.75 million a year cap hit for not much lately. So I think the real deal is he's stuck for a while.
He's washed up.
Yeah, he's not the same.
That's too bad. I was intrigued by it. And certainly there's a lot of talk about Hoffman, like you said. I was intrigued by the idea of Taylor Hall on this team. To me, it was like you're not getting enough offense. You're not getting enough from these forwards. Go reach higher. And I know he's older and he's had his injury stuff too and all that. But I thought it was worth a look. I went along with the idea of this team needing more grit. I mean, I don't think anybody could have argued that was something that needed to be added. I guess, like, why does it have to be either or, and also if you're going to add grit, and I understand the move, but I'm just saying you're trying to make your team grittier and you're sending away the guy that to me set the tone for grittiness and Nick Bonino, at least set the tone in the forward group. So everything's up for second guessing at this point, the way this team's performing.
Well, I think it is. I'm just saying, I mean, we knew coming into the season based on the way the roster looked, you and I talked about it a lot, that offense could be a problem. So far it has been a problem. And I get it. To your point, like, you're wanting to change the identity, and I think that was necessary. Like, this group last year, quite frankly, was soft and was mentally fragile, and that was the problem for this team. And it was a problem that John Hines talked about over and over again trying to address. So I understand the mindset of wanting to bring some guys in like Nick Cousins, like Brad Richardson, who are not necessarily great offensive players, but they're guys that are not afraid to get in there and mix it up. And maybe that has an effect on the rest of your team. Problem is, right now, it hasn't had that much of an effect on the rest of your team. And some of your big time players have either been injured or haven't been producing to the level that you need them to produce. And I think, based on the way this roster is constructed heading into the season, there was more pressure on the top guys to produce this year. And other than Forsberg, they really have not responded to that pressure.
Yeah. So, and by the way, if we're going to talk about specific guys, I mean, I'm looking at Taylor Hall. He's got one goal in 12 games with the Sabres this year. So
he does have 9 points, like, but yeah,
he's setting the world up. He does that. Yeah. He's got 8 assists. So, I mean, Taylor Hall, obviously, he had that one magical season with the Devils, and
with John Hines as his coach.
With John Hines as his coach, this is right. Kind of reminds me of another guy everybody wants in this town, who, in the last several years, has had one really good year, and he's not the player he used to be. But I guess we can't spend the entire show arguing about J.J. Watt. But yeah, look, I think that. Obviously, the idea here, and David Poile said it, it's not like we have to guess at this. I mean, the idea here is Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg, Duchesne, Granlund, when they get him back, by the way, at the last minute, these guys have got to have very good years, all of them, for this team to have enough offense, and obviously not happening.
No, it's not, and I think that puts into question, you know, what's going to happen from this point forward. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But, I mean, the rumblings are already starting. I mean, Pierre LeBrun last night on TSN Insider Trading started talking about the Predators and, you know, probably not considering themselves as sellers yet, but also said doesn't think they're that far away either. So, I mean, we're only 15 games into the season, and the identity that you're trying to build so far hasn't worked. And that, to me, when we talked about yesterday with C-Mace, the struggles out of the gate and how they've consistently taken basically two periods to get anything going offensively, that to me goes back to the mentality part of this. Like, we thought that they had made some improvements in that area and that they were a mentally tougher team. They've talked about trying to get to that point. And to me, having these same issues where you're coming out and you're not generating anything offensively in the first couple of periods, and that's been a consistent problem for this team. Like, it's not like they haven't talked about it. It's not like that habit hasn't been a point of emphasis. And to C-Mace's point, like, at some point, you just got to do it. Like, you got to go out there, and even though it may be difficult, even though your roster may not be as conducive to playing in the offensive zone as it's been in years past, at some point, like, pride's got to take over, and you got to get out there and play harder and play better in the first part of games. And that's been a pretty consistent problem for this team all season long, is they've just not been able to get much going at all offensively in the first part of games.
Yeah, and it's still, like, for me, it comes around to, so how do we divvy this up? Effort, I always feel like that's overrated.
Agreed.
But there's effort, and then there's, like, extra effort. There's, like, desperate effort. There's, I'm going to go and here come in here and take shots and still stand in front of the net kind of effort. But then how much of it is chemistry between guys, not be able to find that within the system, and then how much of it is just individuals executing poorly, making mistakes. Why are they making these mistakes? You know, there's just a lot. It's not as easy. I mean, they just don't look like a good team to me. Is it as simple as they just don't have the players to be a good team, or are they way underperforming what they have on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair question at this point. And to your point, like, quite frankly, early on, it doesn't look like these moves have worked out, and it doesn't look like they're a good team right now. I mean, you're 6-9-0 on the season. So they've got some work to do to figure that out, and not a whole lot of time to dig themselves out of it. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, you can't force an identity change. It'll happen naturally with breaking up the core and or a new general manager in place. And, you know, we've talked about the core of this group. Most of your identity does come from your leadership and from your core. And if this continues down this path, Joe, that could be the next step for this group, is to break up that core.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, how much do you break it up? I think we're headed that way. I mean, unless something really significant changes here, I think we're headed that way to some extent. I mean, we've heard, we're going to have Vingan on later, but we've kind of heard his plan, which is to me, is a pretty good, I guess, kind of measured way to still keep a lot of that core, but try to get assets for the future and maybe have it to where you could still, with some of that core, have a reformed, retooled team that makes a run. So it's not just like sell it all off and start it all over. I mean, you don't want to do that if you don't have to.
Coming up next, it's that time of the week, time for the Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios, both in sports and in life, and then we debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. We encourage your participation on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737. It's Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And And it is that time of the week. Time for the choice is yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios, both in sports and in life, and then debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. Need your participation as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Brian Porth, I believe you are back in the questions chair
this week.
So without further ado, I turn things over to you.
All right. So we've been talking a lot about Isaiah Wilson here in the last couple of days, the Titans' first-round pick from last year, who may never play again for the Tennessee Titans. So I ask you this. Who is the bigger first-round draft bust for the Titans in their draft history, Isaiah Wilson or Jake Locker?
Oh, boy. Man. Well, I'll start on this one. Just purely on the position, I will say Jake Locker. And as, I guess, stupid as it may seem, you could still somewhat leave the door open maybe for Isaiah Wilson to figure this out right now, even though I don't have any confidence at all that he will. So, I think both of them pretty bad picks, but I will give the edge. I don't know, though. Like, I'm giving it to Jake Locker being a bigger bust because he was a quarterback, but at least he, like, got on the field. Like, that has to be factored into it as well. So I may be changing my answer halfway through this. I think I'm going to say Isaiah Wilson because he may not get on the field again for this team.
Yeah, I'll go Locker just because, again, if we get to the point here in a few months and there's we know for sure zero from Isaiah Wilson, I'll change. But right at this moment, I'll go Locker. I mean, there were so many, you know, him coming out, there was a lot of talk, like, is this guy really, yeah, great athlete, but is this guy a consistent enough, accurate enough passer, you know, to be a top quarterback in this league? And I know injuries were the biggest thing with him anyway, but there were a lot of questions about him, and I remember hating the pick at the time. I was like, someone's going to take Locker, and they're going to have just a classic bust in this league, and that's exactly what it turned out to be. So I'll go with him for now, pending.
I'll go with Locker as well because drafting Locker and missing on Locker was a bigger setback than if Isaiah Wilson still doesn't ever play again. To your franchise, it's a bigger setback if just knowing that Jake Locker really didn't do anything, even though he did play and Isaiah Wilson may not. All right, moving on to non-sports. There's been a lot of talk this week about how Elijah Campbell has been camping out here at the radio station because of the weather. I've spent a couple nights here and plan to do so again as the week goes along. So, you are stranded somewhere and you can only have one of these two items. Are you picking deodorant or toothpaste?
Cool. Joe, you want to start?
Okay, all right, I got to ask you a follow-up. How long? How long am I stranded?
Let's say how long Elijah Campbell's going to end up being here, which is probably 5 days. So you're stranded somewhere for 5 days.
Yeah, I'm going to go deodorant. So, really? You can still, like, you can still do things to clean your teeth, okay? Like, you can still, I mean, it's not pleasant, or even unpleasant to talk or think about, but like you you can get in there and try to like help your teeth out a little bit.
Okay. How are you going to go about doing that?
Well, like, I mean,
what are you trying to do?
Orbit take gum? Your fingers and you take your fingers and scrape stuff off. I mean, like use water. I mean, like, but if you go that long without deodorant, I mean, for me, like, I. Like, how do you even, like, stand being around yourself? And you can't get outside yourself. So, I think that would be, like, long term, I think I'd have to go the other way and just say, you know what? You just become accustomed to your own stench, but you have to, like, not let your teeth fall out of your head. But in the shorter term, yeah, I'll go deodorant.
Oh, I'm going, give me the toothbrush. You've got to take care of the teeth. Like, if you're hanging around that long and you don't have deodorant, people just gonna have to deal with it for a certain amount of time. I mean, it's only 5 days. They'll be okay, and maybe you can roll around in, like, some, you know, hand soap or something and put it in your armpits. I don't know. But I would give me the toothbrush. You got to make sure that you keep the breath somewhat okay and the teeth feeling good. 5 days without brushing your teeth, that's a long stretch there, my friend.
Yeah, give me the toothpaste.
It's not pleasant.
give me the toothpaste. It's not very close on this one for me. So,
really, not close at all.
No, not really. And it's just to each their own, but I cannot stand going a full day without brushing my teeth because just the taste in your mouth. No, I want clean teeth and good
detail
breath.
Now, that a boy. Yeah.
So there you go. All
do
right.
you have a do you have a toothbrush in this scenario? Do you have a toothbrush in this scenario?
I have. Well, I didn't state that. You either get deodorant or toothpaste.
Because that's a big thing too. If you have a toothbrush but you don't have the toothpaste, for one, you still have some residual toothpaste, so you can still brush your teeth.
Oh,
see what
my
I'm saying?
Gosh.
Not ideal. It's not ideal.
You're really stretching this one, Joe. All right, going back to sports.
Body odor is bad.
It is bad, whether it's coming from the mouth or your armpits. Stole this one from Twitter, going back to sports. Someone put this out there the other night. So as a reporter, you two have been or are reporters. What is your most ridiculous, quote, I gotta go, there's breaking news experience? And here are a couple of examples. Mark Topkin, who covers the Tampa Bay Rays, put out there that he had to step outside from his own birthday party at a bar to write up a Jeremy Hellickson trade. And Mark Saxon put out there that minutes before a first date, word leaked that Vladimir Guerrero was signing with the Anaheim Angels. The woman watched a movie and ate pizza while I worked, and they're now married. So, with all that being said, what is the most ridiculous I gotta go, there's breaking news story for you two?
Well, I'll start with probably the most dramatic one that I've dealt with in my career so far, and it came in June of 2016. I was sitting there at Predators development camp, happened that morning, and I got done with all my work. I'd written this nice story on Dante Fabro and about how he was really looking forward to playing with Shea Weber one day in his career, and I got to Five Guys Burgers and Fries, and in mid-bite of my first bite of my burger, Shea Weber got traded to Montreal for PK Subban. So I was back up in Hendersonville. I had to finish my meal very quickly, throw pretty much half of it away, and get immediately back in the car to write a story and drive through Bridgestone Arena. So Shea Weber, that trade cost me a very good burger from Five Guys.
So, and man, here's the thing. Now, as the show goes on, I'm going to keep remembering. Oh, my. Oh, and then there was that one. Oh, and then there was this one. I've had a lot of, like, certainly a lot of, like, really, like, basically for my family, like, dude, really? I'm like, sorry, go ahead. I got to hit on the laptop. I will say in recent years, one that comes to mind is Ryan Johansson's injury in the Stanley Cup playoffs, because actually Vingan and I, and I think one of our photographers, maybe George Walker, were boarding a plane. I think it was actually a connecting plane from Denver to Anaheim or to LA, and that hit right then. So I remember, you know, having to write the column on it. And it was a packed plane, very cramped quarters, not ideal. As you guys know, I'm tall. So, I've written on planes a lot, but that was one of those, like, oh my gosh, now I have to try to deal with this and try to, you know, see if the Wi-Fi works and all that stuff. That comes to mind, but I know that there's some good story that I'm totally forgetting. So let me put that on layaway for the rest of the show.
All right. We'll come back to you at the end of the show. Yeah. All right.
There we go.
Last question, non-sports. We're supposed to get hit with potentially 2 to 4 inches of snow later today to go on top of the ice that has built up over the last few days. So someone is needing a shovel, needing to shovel a foot of snow on their driveway in negative wind chill weather. Who wimps out first, Chase McCabe or Jared Stillman?
Oh, man. First off,
I was like, it.
Let's be clear here. Jared's not shoveling his own driveway. Like, it's just not happening. Love Jared, but he's not putting forth that effort. Somebody else would do it, or he would just be stuck at home. But Jared, he's not shoveling his own driveway. So I guess he would wimp out because he would never be out there to attempt it. So I guess Chase McCabe wins the competition by default. But Jared's not getting out in the driveway.
Man, I've seen Chase swing that hammer. That might take about 17 hours for him. But here's the thing. You know, I'm going to go Jared because one thing you could do here is Jared likes to do the workouts and put them on Instagram. You go shirtless out there, get someone to record you and sort of do the, like, look what a manly man I am shoveling snow thing. Yeah. I think you know, I mean, think about how that would play on Cameo, for example. I'm going to go Jared.
All right.
Nice videos.
All right.
Or so, do you take it?
So, Joe, you're saying Chase wimps out first before Jared.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't want to just – Chase is a big guy, but I keep thinking back to that, you know, the 4-mile-an-hour swing of the hammer on the car. I mean, I hate to just take that little – piece of information and apply it to Chase's entire life, but I don't know that he gets through that much.
I have to say Jared wimps out first because he never gets outside. I 1,000% agree with Robbie. I think Jared would have his friends with TriStar Moving or somebody else come out and move the snow for him. I think Chase, it may take him a long time, but Chase is going to get the job done.
They stumble a few times while he's doing it. As well.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just appreciative that it's finally someone besides just me ripping Jared on the show. So thank you for doing that, guys.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right. Teamwork. That was today's edition of The Choice Is Yours. Ryan Porth, well done.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. When we come back, we will get back into the Tennessee Titans, revisit John Robinson's press conference from yesterday. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Isaiah Wilson situation, J.J. Watt, and much more with the Tennessee Titans. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.